Well, this morning we're going to continue our thoughts about some of the things that the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. He talks about the ways that he commended himself and other apostles and Christians commended themselves to the people that they were around. So we will begin in 2 Corinthians 6. The apostle says, and I'm reading today from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I do change translations kind of freely. Most of what I'll read is from the New International Translation. But I want to begin from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I just think it helps to understand it by looking at the way that it's said in different translations. Paul said, "We give no opportunity for stumbling to anyone so that the ministry will not be blamed. But as God's ministers, we commend ourselves in everything, by great endurance, by afflictions, by hardship, by difficulties, by beatings, by imprisonments, by riots, by labors, by sleepless nights, by times of hunger, by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the message of truth, by the power of God, through weapons of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, through glory and dishonor, through slander and good report, as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet recognized, as dying, and look, we live, as being disciplined, yet not killed, as grieving, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet enriching many, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything." So today we're going to talk a little bit about the way that Paul commended himself to the Corinthians by kindness. So we have to begin with some definitions. If you were to come over to my house with my grandsons, you would hear a frequent refrain from Marmy, that's Kim. Every time the boys get a little bit mean to each other, Kim says, "Remember, kind words." And she's said it so many times that now all she has to do is say, "Remember," and my grandsons immediately respond with, "Kind words. Use your kind words." It's the kind of thing that sometimes we think about in a way that's a little bit short of what the Apostle Paul meant to say when he talked about commending himself by kindness. So we're going to look at the definition of this word, kindness. Now, Paul uses this word in a number of different places. Let me get situated here so that you can read along with me. Paul uses a noun that is translated kindness. If you're looking this up in Strong's Concordance or Strong's dictionary, it's the word number G, and that just means it's a Greek word, G5544. This word kindness, and I won't even try to pronounce this word in the Greek. It wouldn't help if I tried and butchered it. This noun comes from the idea of usefulness. And I think that's important, that kindness is usefulness. And because it's useful, Strong says, therefore it came to mean virtuous, good, manageable, under control, pleasant, as opposed to harsh. That's kind of where we generally fall. He says this word means moral goodness, integrity, harmlessness, benignity, which means it's for only good, generosity, or kindness. Now, we've read 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, where he uses this word, but he uses this noun word in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 18. We'll see the word in verse 22, but the King James, if you're reading in the King James in this place translates this word gentleness. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 18. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those that belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Now, we're gonna develop some of these ideas a little bit more fully as we continue to think about this. But he also uses this word in Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, beginning at verse 12, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. Bear with each other, forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since you're members of one body and you were called to peace. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Holy Spirit, speaking to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this kindness is something that the apostle says ought to characterize every interaction that we have. Now, this word kindness, the Greek word that we've been talking about, 5544, is related to an adjective, and it's number 5543. And this adjective is, according to Strong, a word that means fit for use, or useful. See how that idea of usefulness keeps coming in here. He says it's virtuous, it's good. A second associated meaning means manageable. And that manageable begins to be seen in mildness or pleasant, as opposed to harsh or hard or sharp or bitter. Of things, he says, it's more pleasant. Of people, it's kind or benevolent. Keep that idea of usefulness in your head. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 25, the apostle uses this form of the word. He says, in verse 25, beginning, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbors, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no more, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building, for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, as in Christ, God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, interestingly, this word is also used as a verb. It looks a little bit different in the Greek. It's the Greek word that's numbered 5541, if you're looking it up in Strong's lexicon. It is to show oneself useful. No matter what form this word is seen in the New Testament, it always refers to basically being useful. It's a word that he used in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 1, where he talks about communities and the love that exists within communities. Now, this is a passage that we often use to refer to the relationship between husbands and wives. And of course, we are the smallest kind of community, but it's not really a passage that's talking about husbands and wives. It's talking about the relationships that we enjoy in communities. In verse 1, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Here's the key. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So as we take this word and we try to understand what it means, of course, we begin in the same place that we always begin when we think about our vision for 2020. We first think about God's mission, and then we think about the way that we go about making that our focus. So let's begin by understanding God's mission. God did something incredibly useful, incredibly kind in sending Jesus to die and in giving us a means of reconciliation, a means of regeneration, a means to remove all of the things that we had done that we're so ashamed of. In Titus, the third chapter, the apostle writes to Titus. Listen to the way he says it here. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This is the kindness of God. It was the Spirit that he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs and have the hope of eternal life. In Ephesians 2, notice again, the kindness that God showed us. We begin in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that anyone can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. In 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 20, the apostle says, we're therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, this is the way that he commended himself to the people that heard him. He said, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path because we're ambassadors for God, and we understand God's kindness to us. This is kindness. Romans, the second chapter, at verse 4, he asks a question. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his forbearance, his patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance, there's the usefulness. It leads us to repent. Everything that God did had a wonderfully useful purpose for us. Romans 11, beginning of verse 22. Consider therefore the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if you do not persist in unbelief, you'll be grafted in, for God is able to graft us in again. So now the question becomes, how do I make this my focus? Well, kindness compels us. It's the kindness of God, but the notion of usefulness causes us to give up all kinds of malice, all kinds of deceit, all kinds of hypocrisy and envy and slander as attitudes and behaviors that are intended only for my benefit. And if I'm going to be useful, if I'm going to be kind, I have to give those things up because they're not for other people's use. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and slander, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 31, let all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, you have to get rid of it. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God in Christ forgave you. Follow God's example. I have to put away every kind of deceit. Think about how many times you've been disappointed by someone that you thought was doing something that was for your benefit, only to find out that they were doing it for their own personal benefit. Throughout my life, I've done a lot of things, and one of the jobs that I did for a while is I was an insurance salesman. As I was being trained as an insurance salesman, I was told to be careful not to mention some things. I was told to present life insurance as if it was a nice way to save for the future. It's not. That's deceit. But why was I told to tell people that? Because, not because it was good for them, because it was good for me. They were going to buy the product that I was selling and I would get a commission. I didn't last very long as a life insurance salesman, mostly because I didn't want to be unscrupulous the way some life insurance salesmen were unscrupulous. There are scrupulous insurance salesmen, and they do everything that they do on the up and up, and they don't deceive you. Think about how depressing it is when you've been deceived. We'll never do that. We won't do it to each other. We put all of those things away from us because we want to be like God. Now, I think that's a wonderfully attractive thing. We want you to come and be with us. If you're not a Christian, become one. If that's the way that you've always wanted to live and you just couldn't figure out how to get there, you're going to need Jesus to do it. We'll help you to put him on in baptism. But we want you to think about it. We want you to examine your life. And as you examine your own life, put these things away.